8. And we'd just like to entitle a message, An Awesome God. An Awesome God. In Psalms 33 and verse 1 through 8, Rejoice the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is coming for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, singing to Him with song string and instrument of 10 strings. Singing to Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up in the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Again, that text verse, verse 8. Let all the world stand in awe of Him. As you think about that passage of Scripture, how do we would pray that the world, when we speak about the world, we talk about all that's opposed to the Word, the way, the will of God, that to get off the path that's leading them onto the broad path that leads to destruction, doom, and eternal death. For those that are saved, saved by the grace of God, the only way we can be saved, through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you that are saved, we also would ask that you would take notice. But for those that are not saved, we'd ask you to stop and take notice that all that's going around our lives, how we're surrounded by the chaos, the confusion, and calamity upon calamity. You to be lost. We pray that you may be granted favor of the Lord. You may see the handwriting on the wall. Like old wicked King Belshazzar, who Daniel interpreted for him in Daniel chapter 5, verse 26 and verse 27. And basically put, Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall. And what the handwriting said was basically, Belshazzar, your kingdom is finished. You're done. And that night, his life was taken from him. You say, why? What happened to Belshazzar? He had desecrated the temple, the things of the Lord, stolen, captured vessels, the temple of God that his father had stolen, taken, as he invaded Israel. Captured the vessel, the temple of God. And he was using them in a blasphemous way in defying the gods of Israel, mocking the true God of heaven, that's worshiping other gods, self-proclaimed gods, and God dealt with him. We'd pray for the lost to wake up and see the awesomeness of the Lord God of heaven, because there is absolutely none greater than our God, but Jehovah God, the one true God. And then we think for a moment about those of you that are saved. It's the same. And we think about others that are saved, of our family, our friends, our acquaintances, our loved ones. How do we pray that they would awake to righteousness and sin not, as the Bible declares? And may you, you know, sometimes we put up straw men and we build up a straw man and we preach to the straw man. You know, I try not to preach to straw men. I preach to men and women and boys and girls as you are. Preach to the individuals. Preach that we can see results. Pray that the Word of God would have effect in the hearts of those who listen. And I would pray that I, and as well that you, like Isaiah, would get a fresh glimpse of the Lord. Each day that we will wake up and say, Lord, give me a fresh glimpse of heaven. Lord, let me see you as you truly are. High and lifted up, we read in Isaiah chapter 6. That refrain of that song keeps running through my mind and has all day. Our God is an awesome God. And how God that we serve is an awesome God. Three thoughts I want to leave you this evening in a way of a message. Number one, as we think about our God, is awesome in His greatness. He's great in giving us sight. Like the blind man, once I was blind, but now I see. As you read in the book of John. They asked Him, they questioned Him, they questioned His parents, they questioned Him again. And basically all I can tell you is this. Once I was blind and now I see. Listen, our God giving us sight, spiritual sight, giving us the sight to be able to see Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins. Thank the Lord for giving us the spiritual insight of things all around us. We have those that look and they look on in the things of the world through temporal eyes and godless eyes. But may we see the things of the Spirit. May we see those things that is going on around us, and that we relate to them, to the things of God and the things of the Bible. We can also get that He's great in His strength. Our God is great. He's great in giving us sight. He's great in the strength that He possesses. In Matthew 19, verse 26, the Bible declares with all God, all things are possible. We live in a world where everybody, see, like we talk to, companies we talk to, people we deal with, well, that's not possible. That won't work. That can't be. Man, I never did like to hear that. I reckon maybe what reason I don't never like to hear that, because I was never allowed to say those words growing up. My parents never asked more of me than what I could have done. My grandfather never asked more of me than what I could accomplish. And if I couldn't have done it myself, my grandfather very explicitly instructed me one time what to do if there was something that I could not do. He told me how to take care of that. But I was not ever given tasks that was impossible to complete. We live in a world where everybody thinks things are not possible. Well, things sometimes are impossible. I understand that. There's things that are far out of the realm of you and I to be able to take care of or anybody else. But I also know this, and it gives me the greatest of comfort, delight in my soul, to know, as we preached this past week ago, that our God is in control. To know with my God that nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. We also read in the Bible that God is great in giving us songs in the night. That's awesome to me. Job 35, verse 10 tells us about that. You know how awesome it is in the darkest times of the night. Why is it that when someone is sick, it seems like that during the night they get worse? Why is that? It's a known fact amongst people that deal with those that are sick, and you that have had to deal with people that are sick, or if you've had periods and times of sickness, oftentimes it gets worse at night. As the darkness of night comes upon us, sometimes despair increases, despondency increases. We think about depressing thoughts and depressing situations that calm down and close upon us. And then what happens? A song comes to mind. A precious song comes to mind. The refrain or the chorus of a good, godly, gospel song comes to our mind. A scripture. A scripture comes to mind. A portion of scripture, a portion of several scriptures comes to our mind. Or a word. A word from a message, a phrase from a message, a thought from a message that you've heard of late, or maybe years gone by, that comes back into your mind. What a blessing that is. How awesome it is that our God that is great, that gives us songs in the night. Our God is awesome in His greatness. Our God is also, we could say, is awesome in His grace. Grace, number one, grace bestowed in our salvation. Grace bestowed in our salvation. Everybody knows Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves, not of works. It's a gift of God. Romans chapter 3, let me take time to read. As we read in the Bible, another verse speaking about the grace of God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, verse 25, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Grace bestowed to you and I in our salvation. Secondly, we say that our God is awesome in His grace that's bestowed in our sanctification, setting us apart for His purpose, that we can be able to perform under the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. We, as God's children, will persevere. We're promised that we will persevere because the Holy Spirit within us makes that possible. We can overcome, we can be victorious as a set apart child of Almighty God. Thirdly, we can say our God is awesome in His grace bestowed upon us to meet our every need. Our God is not a partial God. Our God is not a God that gives us a little and then that's it. Not a halfway God. Had a person one day that I talked to, and I'd shared this many times. I talked to them about getting a set of tires off of them. And they said, "Well, I'll let you have one, but I can't let you have two. I needed two. Partial. Do me a favor." Sometimes people stop short of helping and giving and doing when we stand in need. Companies, individuals, even family sometimes. And it very well may be sometimes as a pastor and leading the church and maybe not do all that I need to do or lead the church into doing. Give partially. Just a partial help. Sometimes I think about things that I say or do and get too big of a hurry. If I would just slow down a minute and take an extra minute or two, how that I might be able to be of more of an encouragement to somebody, to say something from God's Word that would be an encouragement and bolster to their faith, to strengthen them, to help them. But sometimes we stop short. Sometimes our service to the Lord, we stop short. We deal with that all the time. Of a lack. Not an adequate supply. But our God has no lack. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says Christ is sufficient for every need we have. Isn't that wonderful? For every need we have. Every need. Not a halfway job. Not a halfway promise. Not a halfway treatment. The full shebang, if you will. Our God is able to supply. He's sufficient to meet every need. Philippians 4:19, Christ will supply all our need. Hebrews 4:16, Christ is able to give grace to help in time of need. John 1:16, grace for grace. Grace for every reoccurring a need in our lives. Can't you see? Can't you understand? Can't you say with me today that our God is awesome in His grace? Our God is awesome in His giving. He's awesome in His giving. He's giving of His Son. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." Isn't that the most awesomest gift that you could ever imagine? Can you even start to imagine that you would give such a gift for the likes of one as such as me? Our God is an awesome God, giving His Son for sinners. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Let's think about our God being an awesome God and He's giving. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What a gift that God has given us. There's no one like Jesus. There's no gift like Jesus. There's no better gift that we can give to anybody. No more of a help than we can give it to anybody. To point them to Jesus. To give them the opportunity to respond to the message of the gospel. Give them the gospel that they might be saved. If they only repent of their sins, put their faith and trust in Christ, that they can have eternal life. Our God is an awesome God in giving us what? A sure hope. A sure hope. A solid hope. So much in our life is a fleeting hope. There's not a lot of things we can be absolutely sure about. There's not a lot of things we can be 100% dependent upon. But we can be sure about our God. He gives us hope. A sure hope. And He's awesome. As He gives us hope, this eternal hope, this lasting hope. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that within the veil. I like that kind of a hope. Sometimes people will say, well, I hope so. A whimsical kind of a don't know if it's really going to be or not kind of a hope. A wishing kind of a hope. The hope that you and I have, the Bible declares, is a sure hope. A steadfast hope. Our God is awesome. He's given us of His Son. Given us hope. Psalms 23. To give us a shepherd. Isn't it great to have someone to lead us? Has there ever been a time in your life that you needed somebody to lead you or guide you? Maybe you're just simply following somebody on a trip or following somebody to some destination. You didn't have to worry about making the turns. You didn't have to worry about, was you on the right road? All you had to do was follow the car in front of you. They was the leader. Isn't it nice sometimes to not have to make any of the decisions of where to go or how to do? All you got to do is follow the leader. No responsibility, no accountability, and all you got to do is follow. Boy, we think that'd be easy, wouldn't it? But sometimes it's not so easy, is it? But we think about our Lord, gracious and awesome, and giving us a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalm says. Psalms 23, John chapter 10, the great shepherd's chapter. He's our shepherd. And all that you and I got to do is follow Him. And even in the following, trying to comfort somebody even today, I said, listen, you're already acknowledging it's out of your control. And you're having a hard time. I said, can you think back about the message that was preached Sunday morning? Not fret. Not to fear. Take confidence in God. That song that was sung. Leave it with Jesus. And the reply back was this: yes, I'm trying. That's the way I am sometimes. I know what I need to do. I know where I need to be. But I'm trying to get there. It's hard sometimes. It's hard to simply take God at His Word and take Him as He tells us that He'll give us a shepherd. And all He tells us to do is to follow Him and leave it all with Him. I don't know if you all ever remember the ones that was here that we had a message one time, and I told everybody to begin the service. I said, symbolically, I said, I want you to write something down, a burden that you got up on your heart. Write it on a piece of paper. I said, put it on a piece of paper and hold it. I'll tell you what to do with it after a while. Everybody, surely, I said, has got a burden here in this building. It's like everybody here. Certainly, everybody here. There's somebody here. Nobody here that would not have a burden. All's got a burden. Some more heavy than others, and I understand that. Children have burdens. Small children have burdens. They need to learn to share with mom and dad. As adults, we need to share burdens one with another. And the church. And ask the church to pray. We need to take our burdens to the Lord. And we got to leave them there. I said in the end of that service, I said, now take your burden. Take your burden. During the invitation, you come up and drop that burden, that paper, drop it in that plate, and you walk away from it. Symbolically, what you're saying is, I'm leaving it with Jesus. But I also said this. And some of you will say that, you'll do that, and you'll maybe even come forward and you may drop that in the plate. And symbolically say, I'm leaving my burden with Jesus. But also brought something out to the fact that maybe after everybody leaves and the lights are shut off and everybody leaves, that symbolically in your mind, you come back up, open the door, turn on the lights, and walk back up and get your paper out of the offering plate, and you take that burden back. The Bible says, leave your burdens with Jesus. All we got to do is follow His Word. He says, have faith. All we got to do is do what Jesus tells us, and then follow Him. He's our shepherd. God's gracious, not leaving us on our own to wander about, but to give us a shepherd that we can follow through life, through the valley of the shadow of death, and when it comes our time to leave, on to into eternity. A shepherd. God is gracious, awesome in giving of His Son, giving us a sure hope, a shepherd, giving us the Savior as a shield. As a shield to protect you. Give us a shelter. My shelter is the Lord Jesus Christ. Shelter in place. That was the big thing. Where's our shelter? Our shelter is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Dan Gordon up in Michigan, and I was talking to him there back at the beginning of the COVID, and he's talking about in Michigan, the shelter in place order. And he had a message, something along the line that our shelter is Jesus. We got a place to go in time of danger, and that's always, we can always go to Jesus. He's our shelter. Our God has also given us that solid rock to stand upon. That will be more important to us right now than any time in our life. What we're going through, the nervousness, the anxiety, and it's real. It is very real. It's almost like America is on a balance beam. And which way is it going to go? Which way is it going to go? I'm talking about our nation as a nation. Threats of disruption of, and people keep talking more and more. You keep hearing just people in the streets talking about and asking, is there going to be a civil war? Will there be a civil war? For the first time, they said that a most unprecedented statement to come out of the Pentagon, the people of defense, sent a letter to all the military. Said that the elected president is going to be in office, and he will be our president. He will be our commander in chief. Why was they saying that for? Why was they saying that? Somebody had mentioned to me a while back ago, they talk about a civil war and a great uprising. I said, well, what they'll have to do if they ever do that? I said, ever who's going to win is going to have the military on their side. They got to have some help. We live in a time of shifting sands. I'm thankful God's given us a solid rock. Do I think America's going down? No, I don't want it to go down. I think America's in deep trouble. Been in deep trouble. The old preacher said America's going down. She's going down fast. Going down terribly fast. But I don't have to sit there with a plunger and just force it that much quicker. I want to do my part to hold up America, hold up a nation that's been so blessed to God. And I'm thankful. And I'm appreciative. And I praise my God, my awesome God, for giving me a solid rock to stand on. Because if when all else fails and all else goes by, I'll still be standing on the solid rock on Jesus. They tried to destroy Him. They crucified Him. The devil's waged a war against Christ and His people from eternity, from right at the, out of the Garden of Eden. But our Lord will prevail, has prevailed, and will continue to prevail. We have that solid rock to stand upon. All things made possible through the shedding of His blood. The rock of our salvation, Jesus. Our God is an awesome God. May you and I, here today, here tonight, in sweet surrender, give ourselves over to Him. He's deserving. He's all holy. He's all righteous. He's all powerful. He's our awesome God. He's a mighty God. And may we submit and surrender unto Him and get given to Him that which is due to His holy name. May we do that not only this evening but every day of our lives, to submit ourselves to a thrice holy, awesome God. If you're here tonight and you're lost, we certainly encourage you to be saved. If you're listening, we encourage you to be saved. If something's on your heart, we'd encourage you to take time to speak, to talk, to share before you leave here tonight. How many fellow are just blessed? Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Lord, for being the great God, the awesome God. Lord, we don't deserve. Lord, but you and your awesomeness gave. In your grace, you gave. And Lord, you continue to give. And Lord, we praise your name even today. Be it those special names, special requests, special needs. And Lord, we bring you all the honor and glory to you here this night. And we continue to do so. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.